was asking a question this morning. He says a day in Paris, there are people, youngsters, or those that he knows. Some of them are in cinemas, some are in drugs, some are in music, some are in other sinful activities. Now how do you bring them to the masjid? How do you make them change their way of life? Or when do you tell them that this is haram and give it up altogether? Because yesterday I was explaining Zohar time, the different stages of Dawat il Allah. How you must use hikmah, when must you say clearly that this is haram and give it up. When must you just give it in the bayan but don't tell the person directly. Now there are different stages, because sometimes that person, if you go and tell him straight, you got no taluk with him, you got no contact with him, you got no muhabbat with him. He doesn't know you well, you don't know him well. Or even if he knows you but he doesn't respect what you are saying, now you go and tell that person this is haram. So the person will say, haram or not haram, na'uzubillah, I'm going to indulge in it. Or he say, mind your own business. Or he may make some other statements which may be bordering on kufr. So at such a time, you don't tell that person straight, this is haram, do this or don't do that, because you haven't got taluk with him. On the other hand, if the person is a murid, or the person is a friend, the person is someone that respects your opinion, or looks up to you for advice and nasihat, then that person you can say, look, this is haram, this is, you must give it up immediately, or whatever it is. But the other person, you will use hikmah. Like it is time for salat, so you will give that person the virtues of salat directly, indirectly. And when it's time for salat, you see the person is still carrying on with his game and not ending, then you will tell that person, it's time for salat, I'm going for my salat, I'm going for my namaz. And that is a direct or indirect dawah to him, that I'm just going to make my salat and I will come just now inshallah. So what does that mean? That you are also a Muslim. Salat is farz on you too. So you too give it up now, all your playing, and come with me to Salat. So you haven't told him anything directly, but indirectly you gave him the message. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, on one occasion, a person was in the train or on the station, and his pants was flowing beneath his ankles. Now there are so many hadiths when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned those people who allow their garment to flow below the ankles. But that is when you are standing, not when you are bending down or you are lying down. Because when you go into ruku, the long kurta may go below your ankle. But when you are standing, so no garment must go below the ankle. So he replied, tumhare kisne kaha? So he said, shariat mein hai. So na'uzubillah, he said, tumhari shariat ki aisi taisi. In other words, to hell with your shariat. Now if a Muslim has to say to hell with your shariat, does he remain a Muslim? He has committed kufr. So until he had his pants below the ankle, he may have been committing a sin. But now with that statement, he went out of the pale of Islam. So those ulama who allowed certain people to remain in that sin for some time, period of time, people thought that they made halal haram or haram halal. It's not that. It's a question of keeping their iman intact, so that their iman doesn't go away. So that's why I was explaining to Dawood, Sheikh Dawood, that there are many sins that people are committing. Some are committing that sin of gambling, some are committing the sin of adultery, some are committing the sin of watching movies, some are listening to music. Different people committing different kinds of sins. And some people are committing the sin of not performing salat. So what a major sin not performing salat is. person is not performing salat, it's a greater sin than going to the cinema or listening to music. So you will see that person's condition, situation, and how much of taluk and muhabbat and all that he has with you, how much he's able to digest. You must only give the person that amount of spiritual food as much as he can digest. Agar hazam na ho sake to kya fayda? If the person cannot digest that food and you give him, keep on eating, carry on eating, what's going to happen? You'll get diarrhea. If you go on feeding him, he can't digest the food, he'll get diarrhea. So even when it comes to deen, doesn't mean that one time you give him the whole deen, that you must, this is to be done, all the do's and all the don'ts, you don't give it to the person one time. This tadrij, make salat, give zakat, fast, do this, do that, slowly, gradually you bring that person there. One person, I was in Escort in the 70s, so somebody wanted to accept Islam. So he asked one of the Muslim brothers, I said, you want to accept? So that Muslim brother told him, yes, if you want to accept Islam. So he asked him, what do I have to do to accept Islam? He said, to accept Islam, what you have to do is you have to believe in Allah Ta'ala, get your aqaid right, and then you have to perform salat 5 times a day and give zakat. Now that poor person, when it came, the whole zakat to him was given, he must go for hajj too, all the details game of hajj. And then every night you must make 20 rakats of salat. Every night, because of Ramadan month. So he said, now every night you must also make 20 rakats of namaz. And after that he says, you must get up for tahajjud. And he gave him such a long chapter that that person got frightened. Then one of his friends told me that this is what happened. I said, bring him to me. So when he came to me, then I explained to him. I said, Islam is simple, basic things, and it came the basic things. He said, no, that's quite easy. I said, well, don't worry, that is Islam. He said, you don't worry about all the detailed masail of zakat and all that now. There's still a long time to go for that. You don't have the money. Also, you are working from the morning till the evening, and you are just coming into Islam. So you don't have to make the 20 rakats immediately. And this is how you have to start. You've got to make it easy and simple and practical for that person. When he comes into Islam, after that he'll do everything. But straight away now you're telling him you're going to make this too, and you're going to do that too, and you're going to do that too, then the person will get frightened. Like, that's why my Shaykh, this is Mawlana Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, he says that and there's hikmah in that. He says, if a university student asks you how many rakats of Isha Salat, a university student who is not studying, who is not deendar, is not in deen, is far away from deen, is a playboy. Now if he's asking you that how many rakats of Isha Salat, or you bring him into deen now, you bring him into Salat now, you're telling him you must make 5 times Salat, then you must tell him there's only 9 rakats you must make. 4 rakats first, 2 rakats Sunnat, and 3 rakats Witr. Start off like that. Straight away you tell him 17 rakats, then you say, no, that's too much for me, I can't make it. Now he doesn't know what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnat, what is nafil. So you start off like that. So that is what I was explaining to Dawood, that you look at the situation. This is not a kind of a cause that you do, and then you go by the book. In Islah and Tarbiyah, it's not a cause. It's not like some kind of book that you read and then you sit down and you follow the book. They, according to the occasion, according to the situation, whichever way is the best way to invite that person towards Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to bring up the taluk and muhabbat. So first of all, you have to build up that kind of capacity in that person, that he must be able to digest, he must be able to absorb, he must be able to listen. And at least, even if he doesn't make amal, he must not be one that rejects Sharia or rejects the haqq that you are presenting. Then you can say whatever you like. It takes time to reach that stage where the person will listen to you, even though he's not making amal, but the thing is, in his heart, he believes that what you are saying is haqq. And he regrets also what he is doing. expresses some kind of remorse and he looks forward to changing, although it may take a bit of time, but at least he's accepting it. So that is when you can say whatever you have to say. But until then, you talk indirectly. Lots of things you have to say. If I were in your situation, I would have done this, I would have done that. In that way, that person gives it a bit of a listening. But especially sins are sweet to people. At present, sins are very sweet. It's halwa for people. Now we're trying to take that halwa away, we're taking that sweet away, and we're giving nothing in return. So they are finding ibadat and zikr and tilawat and obedience to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a bitter pill. So if they're finding it bitter, then now you must make it sweet-coated. Just make that bitter pill sweet-coated. Coat it sweetly and give it to them. Dawa dete and a sweet-coated. Meaty kar dete. So that means at least he begins to take it. If he begins to take it, after that he'll get used to it. So there in Paris you have to look at the situation there. Unlike South Africa, it's different. Alhamdulillah, yeah, we got so much madaris, we got masajid, we got tabligh and dawat, we got khanqas, and we got so much of dini activities taking place. So to some extent, deen-wise, South Africa is much more advanced than other places. But in Paris and in Europe, America and other parts of the world, some places there's such jahalat that they haven't even heard still of Ramadan. They don't even fast in Ramadan. You see, that is the reason why I always say that there are many things which are not permissible. It may not be jais, may not be halal. It may be an evil that is in society. But for those people, sometimes that evil also becomes hujjat, becomes a dalil, becomes a proof against them. Now in those countries, there may not be madaris, not much masajid, not much people in deen. But still they will have no excuse on the day of Qiyamah to say that no, we didn't know what was Islam and what was deen, what was... Because practically every home in Europe and America has got a television. And not one, in most homes they have half a dozen, for every room one. Now these days with the Middle Eastern situation, whatever is happening in the Middle East and happening in other parts of the world, all the time they must be showing something about Islam and something about some bombing in Palestine, something about some thing happening in Iraq and in Iran and in Pakistan and here, there, everywhere. I don't know what they show, but the thing is that they show everything in CNN and BBC and all this. Whoever is watching, so they are watching that people are making salat. Then they tell them, now is the month of Ramadan for the Muslims, isn't it? Now in the programs that they must be having now, so they must be talking about this month being the month of fasting for the Muslims. And war is still taking place here, or so many died. Or in this fasting month this happened there, in the fasting month that happened there. Or in the newspapers, that there's a Ramadan article there, or some other Eid article there, or something like that. Or in the magazines that come. Then when Hajj time will come, then they'll say, well, the Muslims will be heading for Makkah Sharif, and millions of Muslims will gather there. Then the CNN will show it, and BBC will show it, and other world television stations will show it. So all these things that the person is watching. Now the person who accepted Islam, or the person whose name is a Muslim name, he can't say on the day of Qiyamah that I didn't know what was Ramadan, and I didn't know what was Salat, and I didn't know what was this. Then what were you watching there all the time? When the Muslims were bowing down and going into Sajda, then at least your mind should have gone towards researching, finding out that what are the duties of a Muslim, And the world, the non-Muslim world is saying, look at these Muslims now, they're bowing down, they're going to sajda. Or they 1 million, 2 million, 3 million have gathered here and gathered there. And this is what, this is becoming like a hujjat, it's becoming a proof. All these programs on radio stations and television and all that, it is becoming a proof against those people. So that on the day of Qiyamah they can't say that we didn't know. That will not justify what they may be showing, but what I'm saying is that even they, those people also can't say that. Those days probably they could have said we were living in some remote area and Islam didn't reach us and we didn't know what was namaz, we didn't know what was fasting. But these days who can say that? Everywhere in the world there's television. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is making this a hujjat and a proof against them. So we have to see the situation, we have to see the person, we have to see the occasion. As Mawla Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, Mauqa Shanasi Mardum Shanasi. Tabligh ke usool kya hai? Mauqa Shanasi Mardum Shanasi. That's the usool. All other things will fit in with that. That you see the situation, you see the mauqa, you see the person. And then you make that much nasihat as much as he can absorb and digest. Understood, Shaykh Dawood. So there's no book, like you don't go by rules. And then when a person creates that fikr and concern that I want to make some khidmat of deen and islah of myself and others, then Allah Ta'ala opens up. Then he gets, Allah Ta'ala puts the ideas, Allah Ta'ala puts the words into his mouth for the right occasion. Allah Ta'ala just inspires him at that time to say that which may be light up the heart of that person or make him give up his sins. We just don't know when. That is why I say that many, many times it happens. That one example which I have given, if I'm giving 5 days every day bayan, that example will come every day in my mind. And sometimes it won't come for months, sometimes for the whole year or 2 years, and sometimes I forgot about that example too. So then I wonder why is it that suddenly yesterday I said the same example came, the other day I spoke the same thing came. After the salat, after the program, somebody will come and say, Allah, that example that you gave and it struck my heart and I gave up this sin or gave up that sin. So then you realize that it was for somebody in the audience. Like that example that I've given so many times about the pigs, about halal haram. The person who's going to the casino, even if he strikes a jackpot of couple million, or he gets a lotto win of 20 million and 60 million and 50 million, or if he gets 100 billion too, then whether it is $1 of haram, 1 rand of haram, or $1 billion of haram, it is like a pig. There's no difference. Haram pig and haram dollar, there's no difference. This is in note form and that is in meat form. That's the only difference. What else is the difference? What you have got is a note and that is meat. Don't people go and buy meat with the same notes? Person goes and buys meat with the same notes he goes and buys. So when the person wins anything that is haram, then he has won nothing but pigs. So I emphasize that so much that it's settled into the person's heart that it is pigs that he has won. The moment he gets a win, now he starts thinking, that what did I win? As a Muslim we're talking. Because to the non-Muslim it is like bones to the dogs. Give them plenty of bones, the dog will get fat. But for the Muslim, he can't eat bones, he'll die. Insan bhi agar kutte ko dekh kar haddi khana shuru kar de to kya hoga usko? Haddi khakar marega hai aur kutta taza hoga. To musalman ke liye ye haddi hai. Insan, chunki wo insan hai. So now he, if he is going to be informed that he won $1 million, so immediately he must start thinking, what I want is 1 million pigs. So I must prepare buy one big farm and accommodate the 1 million pigs that will be delivered or 10 million pigs that will be delivered. So will I be happy to invite all the family members and the friends and neighbors and all that come in the evening? There will be a delivery of 10 million pigs. What will I say? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. I spit on that person's face and say, you take it away, go and give it to whom you like. I thought I was winning dollars. So now that kind of an example, but without exaggeration, in the month of Ramadan, I don't know how many people have given up their gambling habits. Just the other day after Maghrib, there was one person here. So many times it happens like that. And I mentioned this example a few days ago or a few weeks ago. And that person comes and he says, Allah, I was addicted. And not that I didn't know it was haram. So I knew it was haram. But I just couldn't restrain myself. He says, but after that example, say I went down to the wild coast. When I went to the wild coast, he said, I took a turn around and came away again. He says, as soon as I went there, he says, now I'm just thinking, if I win, I want pigs. What am I going to do with pigs? They're going to bring disaster in my life. So he says, he turned around and came away. I made tawbah for it. So you don't know for who it is and when it is. So we must make dua, Allah Ta'ala must use us with ikhlas for the khidmat of deen. Then it will start. So Allah Ta'ala will put whatever is necessary for that person at that time into our minds. And inshallah, he'll come out of it. But the person himself must have a little bit of desire to come out. Then Allah Ta'ala also. أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. So if he's not interested himself, Allah is not going to thrust it down his throat. Bas, inshallah, after the Quran recitation, the others will be into, then we'll discuss something about Atikaf. Muhammad, how many days you got off?